pray. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a crown for me. All wise and eternal God, we come calling upon thy holy name this morning. First of all, we come just to say thank you. Father, we thank you for bringing us safe thus far, through the rain and through the storms. Father, over the mountains and down in the valleys. But God, we know that thou art there with us. So we just pause to say thank you. Oh God, as we go into this worship service, Father, we ask that we are not here for form or fashion, but God, to praise thy holy name. God, if you may, we just ask that thou invoke thy Holy Spirit down upon us. Father, bless the speaker of the hour and give him the words to say that we might leave from here rejoicing. Not because of how he delivered the message, but Father, because it's a word from thee. Oh God, we ask you to bless everyone in the sound of my voice. God, look upon our president, Father, and the faculty of the seminary. Then God, look upon each and every student. Father, you know exactly what we're all in need of. And Father, we come this morning claiming the victory. One writer said, victory is mine. God, we believe that because you sent your only begotten son. Father, that went to the cross, but not only did he die, but on that third day morning, we are so happy. That third day morning, he rose from the dead. And Father, we know that he lives because he lives in us. Oh God, we ask these and other blessings in thy holy name. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we do welcome you to a very special day. Now, I want to announce up front that we're on Southern Standard Time today. And what that means is that we're through when we're through. And those of you who happen to have a class at 11, you just hang with us, or you'll hang alone. And so, be patient with us. Now, somebody asked me the other day, they knew we were going to have a special day of appreciation for black pastors in the area. They said, why would you do a thing like that? Well, I just want to tell you right up front why we're doing that today. I want you to know that in a world that is plagued by racism, whether it be the conflict that we're watching in the newspaper right now in Bosnia, that exists between Arabs and Jewish people in the Middle East, or whether it be that which is sometimes present in the Orient among, for example, Japanese and Korean peoples, or whether it be that which has plagued our own nation across the years. Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is absolutely committed forever and ever to the concept that all of God's children are together in one family. That, as a matter of fact, Eve is the mother of all living. Now, whether you like it or not, that makes us all brothers and sisters in some sense of the word. And we want to make that very clear in our statement to a community that sometimes has expressions of racism even today. And so for that reason, we have chosen this day to say a special thank you to those who provide a very important part of the heritage of our own country and the contributions that they have made across the years. And accordingly, I want to recognize some people today, if I can just briefly. How many of you are pastors of black churches that have been able to get through the rain today to be here with us? Would you stand for just a moment and let us see you and recognize you? If you're serving as pastor of one of our black churches, would you stand for just a moment? Wonderful. Any others now? Any others? And I want to invite especially those of you who just stood, black pastors, to come over to the president's home immediately following chapel this morning for just a moment so that you can get a chance to get a cup of coffee and get acquainted with our preacher for the morning. And so if you'll go there immediately following, if you need to know the way, we'll have boats right outside the, in any event, it's the Rock House over there, just beyond, as you probably saw it coming into town today. And so we'll have somebody to point your way. Anybody knows, just ask them and they'll point your way over there. We're delighted to have you with us today, and we pray that this will be a very wonderful time for each of you. And so please keep in mind that black pastors go immediately to the house following our chapel time together here today. Now we're very privileged to have Greater Fellowship with us today, this excellent looking choir up here. They're going to sing for us once right now and then twice more before the message, okay? This is Greater Fellowship. Now folks, you talk about making a contribution. I'm ashamed of some of our people that didn't come this morning because of the weather. These folks left Charlotte this morning at 6 a.m. in two big buses to come down here and sing for us today. One of our students, Irvin Millsaps, is one of the pastors of this church, and he brought his choir all the way down here today. Brother Irvin, we thank you for that. And Greater Fellowship Choir, we want you to sing for us once now, and then in a few moments we'll hear from you again. God's Word. He's originally from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. I told him a minute ago I didn't know about that. That's one of my favorite scuba diving places, and I'm glad to know where I can go and stay now when I go there. And so Derry's going to come and read our passage of Scripture in just a moment, and then the choir will sing again for us a couple of numbers, and then it is my joy today to introduce to you one of my dearest, precious friends in the world, one that I almost consider a brother. And if you'll look closely at our hairdos, you'll be able to tell that we really are. The only difference is just a little bit of color. But Dr. Fred Luter is pastor of the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. I became aware of him because I read a news release about him and remarkable work that he was doing at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, very close to the part of town where I used to serve as a pastor while I was a student, New Orleans Seminary. For years, I had that particular part of town very much on my heart, frustrated because we could do no more to reach it, but believing and praying that God would raise up somebody someday who would have a unique approach. And God did exactly that, and along came Fred Luter. He has been pastor of the church since 1986 when it was organized, beginning with just about 50 members. Today, keep in mind that's 86, today there are more than 1,200 members, and they do all that with 8 parking spaces. 8, you heard it right. Unbelievable. I went down there and visited on Wednesday night, just slipped in incognito, if you can imagine. Never saw anything like it in all my born put-togethers. I was greatly blessed at what I saw taking place there. Would you believe that last year the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, a church no older than that, led the Louisiana Baptist Convention in baptisms? They baptized 234 people last year, just a fraction of those that they actually led to the Lord, but what a tremendous response in that particular place. Fred Luter is the first African-American to serve as a member of the executive board of the Louisiana Baptist Convention, where he's making a marvelous contribution right there. I'm so grateful for the providence of God that brought him into my life, because he has impacted me. The only bad thing I have to say about him, and I do have one bad thing, and that is that night before last at the Christian Life Commission meeting in Oklahoma, I had to speak after he got through preaching. And I know that Dr. Richard Land, who planned the program, must be demonically possessed to have done a thing like that to me. But in any event, it is a joy to have Fred Luter with us today. He is my dear friend and brother, and I'm going to ask Derry to come and read our scripture, and following that, we'll listen to a couple of numbers by the choir once again, and then you'll listen with open heart to Brother Fred Luter. Brother Derry, you come.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, ending in verse 11. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thus ended the reading of God's word.
I tell you, choir, Kurt Franklin would be proud to hear that rendition of his song. God bless you. You did a wonderful job. Giving obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to Dr. Patterson, Dr. Aiken, the faculty and staff here at Southeastern Seminary, to all of the guests, the students here, and the visiting pastors, to this great choir from the Greater Fellowship Baptist Church. I'm delighted and excited because I was invited to be here with you at this chapel service today. I'm honored. There's a lot of things I wanted to say as far as introductions, but our time is far spent. I need to at least let you know I can preach a little bit, and so I need to get into this message this morning. First of all, I want to thank Dr. Patterson. He's a man after God's own heart. I've come to love him and admire him. He's opened up a lot of doors for me since I just met him not too very long ago. He corresponded with me about a year ago about the work that was done. And as a result of that conversation and other things, he just opened up a lot of doors for me and given me opportunities like I had in Oklahoma City on Monday. And I'll be going to another engagement in Washington because of his just paving the way for me. And Dr. Patterson, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you, brother, for all that you've done in my life. I just want to take a minute to acknowledge a young man who was a member of our church down in Franklin Avenue. Before he moved on, he was relocated for his job, and he heard I was coming up here. He now stays in Raleigh, and he's here this morning. I just want him to stand. George, stand, Brother George Meyer. Amen. One of the members from Franklin Avenue, but he's now living in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it's good to see you, brother. There are some people that you want to leave, but people like George, you want to stay, but it's good to see him here. Amen. But it's good to have you. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Our time is far spent. Choir, you bless me. I tell you, God bless y'all. Amen. Y'all blessed us this morning, and God bless you. Acts chapter 18, I was actually come here today to share in this fellowship honoring the black pastors and appreciating them. But not only am I here for them, I'm here for all of us who are in ministry. Ministry gets tough sometimes. It's not always easy as it appears to be on Sunday in prime time or Wednesday in prime time. There are some disappointments. There are some frustrations that happens in ministry. But I've come all the way from New Orleans to let you know that in the spite of all the frustration, in spite of all the problems and the trials and tribulations that we handle and that we go through in ministry, it's worth to hang in there, because God will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. So there's a word of encouragement today for not only the pastors, but for all of you who are in ministry. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, and you'll find these words. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. I want to preach y'all this morning from the subject, Too Soon to Quit. Too Soon to Quit. Southeastern, here in Acts chapter 18, Luke records a very critical time in the life of Paul the apostle. It was a period, Dr. Patterson, in Paul's life where I'm sure all believers go through at one time or another. It was a time in Paul's life where he felt down. Dr. Aiken, he felt dejected. Paul felt defeated. In other words, Southeastern, Paul had a serious case of the blues. Anybody beside me ever had the blues before? Those times when it appears that nothing is going right. Gary, you've been there. Those times when it appears that you're only spinning your wheels. Those times when it appears like your labor is in vain. Millsap, anybody beside me ever been there before? You find it doesn't take much to upset you. You find it doesn't take much to aggravate you. You time it doesn't take much to get you angry. As a matter of fact, you find yourself having a condition I call spiritual malnutrition. Consequently, Dr. Patterson, we find ourselves not enjoying our work, not enjoying our service, not enjoying our ministry, not enjoying our church. And sometimes it can get so bad that you feel like giving up. But I've come all the way from New Orleans to tell you, Southeastern, it's too soon. It's too soon to quit. This is the way Paul felt in our text this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 18, the Bible tells us that Paul had just left the city of Athens, and now he's going to Corinth. Now, if you know anything about these two cities, things were not getting easier for Apostle Paul. For Athens was a city that was known for idolatry, where they worshiped anything and everything. They even had a statue to the unknown God. And, you know, everything. They just worshiped anything. Now, God is sending Paul from a city like Athens and saying, now, Paul, I want you to go to Corinth. Now, if you know anything about Corinth, things are not getting any better for Paul. For Corinthian was a city that was known for immorality, where they worshipped the sex goddess Aphrodite, where they had 1,000 temple prostitutes on the outside of the temple to minister, quote unquote, to all of those who just came back from worship. It was a city that was known for pleasure, that was known for selfish gratification. And George, it was to this city that God is now sending Paul to declare his gospel. It was to this city that God is now sending Paul to evangelize. Imagine, Dr. Patterson, the dejection that Paul felt. Imagine quiet the ridicule that Paul felt. Imagine Southeastern the mocking that Paul felt. It was getting to a point in Paul's life where he just wanted to give up. And I can prove to you that he wanted to give up. For our text says in verse 9 that the Lord spoke to Paul at night. Now if you notice anything about whenever you're going through things, things always seem to get worse at night. Think about that. And God spoke to Paul at his down, and he spoke to Paul at night. And if we ever going through that, it seemed that things just get worse at night. If you're in trouble, it seems like your trouble gets greater at night. If you're sick, you seem to get sicker at night. If you're lonely, your loneliness gets really tough at night. If you're down in despair, your despair finds no bottom at night. Night had set in Paul's life. Night had set in Paul's ministry. And Paul, Southeastern, wanted to give up. However, the Bible said that during this low point in Paul's life, that the Lord came and spoke to Paul in the night. Now, isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like somebody knows that he'll come to you? As a matter of fact, the old soldiers used to say, if the Lord don't come, he'll send somebody. My old grandmother used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. All my brothers and my sisters, things had to be going pretty rough for Paul, for him to reach this low point in Paul's life, because Paul was somebody. Paul was somebody. Paul was no novice, but Paul was no beginner, but Paul was no rookie. But this is the same Paul who talked about being more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved him. This is the same Paul that talked about what shall separate me from the love of God. This is the same Paul that talked about all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. This is the same Paul that talked about that in the scripture you read, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. This was the Apostle Paul. Now, uncharacteristic of himself, Paul is now saying, I want to quit. Now, Dr. Patterson, I don't think Paul wanted to quit the ministry. I don't think he wanted to quit the ministry. He wanted to quit Corinth. Danny, he didn't want to resign. He just, Lord, give me another assignment. Lord, send me to another church. Give me another congregation. God, send me to another school. He wanted to. Let's look at some reasons very quickly as my time is running out why Paul wanted to quit. First of all, the Bible tells us in chapter 17 of this text that Paul had an experience of failure. In chapter 17, the Bible said Paul had an experience of failure. Have you ever failed with your walk with the Lord? Hey, have the Lord ever depended on you to do something and you let the Lord down? You know, my friend, spiritual failure will cause you to quit. The devil will say, see, I told you that would happen. The devil will say, see, I told you, you let your family down, you let your church down, you let the Lord down, you just ought to quit. Ain't nothing to your walk with the Lord. You can't live a Christian life. You can't live a committed life. Stop being a hypocrite. So go ahead and quit. Go ahead and throw in the towel. I tell you, failure will tempt you to quit. In Acts chapter 17, verse 18, Paul had an experience with the Epicureans and the Stoics. These were philosophers who joined together against Paul because Paul was preaching Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And they laughed at him and they mocked him. They called him a babbler. And consequently, Paul felt like a failure because so few accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody ever been there? You're preaching, you're laboring, and so few have accepted the word. Paul, Dr. Patterson, wanted to quit. But I come to tell you, Paul, hang in there, it's too soon. It's too soon to quit. But you see, all failure is not final. We all have known failure. However, failure is not the period at the end of the sentence of life. Failure is only a comma. Well, where you pause and repose and then move on to another chance. Jonah got another chance. The woman at the well got another chance. The woman caught in adultery got another chance. The Philippian jailer got another chance. Millsap Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree got another chance. And because of Calvary, you and I got another chance. Oh, we were doomed. We were hopeless. We were down, but Jesus gave his life, and he gave us something we didn't deserve. He gave us not a second chance, because I used my second chance a long time ago. He gave us another chance. You can't quit now. Failure doesn't set it all. Before the curtain comes down, before the period is placed in its place, before everything comes to an end, you can't quit now. You got to wait till Sunday morning. I don't care how miserable your Mondays, how terrible your Tuesdays, how weary your Wednesdays, how trying your Thursdays, how frustrating your Fridays, how sleepless your Saturdays. You can't quit now. You got to wait till Sunday morning. You might have a tough time now, but you got to wait until Sunday morning. You can't quit now. The story is not over yet. It's not over until Resurrection Sunday. Don't throw in the towel, saints of God. Listen, you may be facing devilish deacons, tricky trustees, ugly acting ushers, cranky choir members, promiscuous preachers, messy members, brutish bosses, or wacky co-workers, but don't throw in the towel. You hang in there. It's too soon. It's too soon to quit. Not only did Paul want to quit because of failure, but secondly, Paul wanted to quit because of fatigue. Remember, Paul wasn't flying Delta or United or American Airlines. He wasn't driving a Cadillac or a Mercedes. Paul had to walk everywhere he went. The man got tired. Fatigue will tempt you to quit. On this second missionary journey, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, verse 1, that Paul walked from Apollonia to Thessalonica. From Thessalonica, verse 10 tells us he walked to Berea. And now from Berea, he's going to Athens. And now from Athens, he walked to Corinth. The man walked almost 250, 300 miles over a long period of time. The man was tired. I tell you, fatigue will tempt you to quit. That's why it's always dangerous to make a major decision when you're tired. That's why, as Dr. Patterson was telling me on the plane, Fred, sometimes you need to get away. You've got to refuel. You've got to review. Why? Because fatigue will tempt you to quit. He didn't only want to quit because of failure. Secondly, he wanted to quit because of fatigue. But thirdly, Paul wanted to quit because of frustration. You ever got frustrated in your ministry? Some of us are frustrated right now. Frustrated at home, frustrated on the job, frustrated with school, frustrated with your church, and you're wondering, can it get any better? My friend, don't give up now. It's too soon to quit. See, Paul had a twofold frustration. First of all, Paul had to face organized opposition. Any of you pastors ever face organized opposition? Where people plan their strategy to oppose you? Yeah, they don't like each other, but they'll get together to oppose you. Organized opposition. Pastor, Dr. Patterson, everywhere Paul went, he was hounded by those who opposed the gospel that he was preaching. They maybe couldn't stand each other, but they got together and they organized against Paul. Paul constantly faced opposition. Listen, my friend, if you have to always face opposition to your program and opposition to your vision and opposition to your ministry, opposition will tempt you to quit. But I've come to tell you to hang in there. It's too soon. It's too soon to quit. Not only was he tempted to quit because of organized opposition, but also he was frustrated by overwhelming odds. Lord told Paul, go and take the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was a city of over 750,000 people, and it was just Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla. You talk about overwhelming odds. I tell you, but I've come to tell you today that God plus one is always the majority. You just put yourself in God's hand. You just trust in the Lord. You just depend on him. Listen, God doesn't need your ability. God needs your availability. Listen, I know my common background. I know where I came from. I was a street kid, brought up in one of the roughest areas of the city of New Orleans. And I didn't have all the ability that I know people want. I didn't have all the knowledge, but I gave God my ability. I fell in love with the Lord when I gave him my life. I gave him my everything from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I gave him my body. I gave him my mind. I didn't have the ability, but I had availability. And I put my availability in God's hand, and God took my availability and wrapped it up in his Jehovah-istic ability. And God is setting the captives free. God is doing a work in the city of New Orleans through this young street kid because, not necessarily because I had ability, because I had availability. Just give yourself to the Lord, my friend. Don't be tempted to throw in the towel. You may be tempted to quit, but I've come to tell you, hold on. God will help you carry on. Listen, if you're not the only believer who ever wanted to quit. You know, you're in good biblical company. Jeremiah was tempted to quit. He was the weeping prophet. God, I'm trying to preach. These people don't want to listen, God. I get tired of the Lord. They don't want to repent. He wanted to quit, Doc. He wanted to quit, but he went on and on. But it got like the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jeremiah like fire. Shut up in his bone, and he couldn't keep his peace. Now, Elijah wanted to quit. After defeating the gods of Baal up on Mount Carmel, he let Jezebel run him off. And then he started praying a prayer that he really didn't mean, Lord, kill me. He didn't mean that.
They can be set free. They can be delivered. They can be made whole when they come to Jesus Christ.
So
come
on, students.
Let's make the main thing the main thing. Come on, brothers and sisters. Let's make the main thing the main thing. Come on, preachers. Let's make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is we've got to save the lost at any cost. We've got to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. I've heard the joy bell sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I'm going to tell it all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves. He'll pick you up and turn you around. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Say hallelujah. Somebody eat giants. Say hallelujah. Somebody he delivers. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Let's reach the lost at any cost. God bless you.
My time is out. My time is out. But if God has given you an assignment, if God has given you a ministry, if God has given you a job to do, and you quit, watch out. You're on your way. Come. Oh, I know somebody wants to quit today, but it's too soon. It's too soon to quit. There's some students here at Southeastern, and you want to quit. You're not making the grades in Greek and Hebrew like you thought you would. If you hang in there. It's too soon to quit. There's some senior soldiers here. You may be wanting to quit. The pep is not in your step like it used to be. And your body don't respond like it used to. However, I've come to tell you, if God has left you here, God has left you here for a reason. You be faithful unto death, and God will give you a crown of life. There's some single parent here who may want to quit. You're tired of being daddy and mama. You're tired of all of your added responsibility. You're tired of raising children all by yourself. But you hang in there, your single parent, is too soon to quit. You don't know who God has in that child. God may have the next mayor of your city in that child. God may have the next governor of your state in that child. God may have the next president of this seminary in that child. You hang in there, single parent. It's too soon to quit. There may be a single person here today, and you want to quit. You're tired of being single and sleeping in a double bed. And you're having problems with your singlehood. You're tired asking your sister to go to show with you. You're tired asking your sister to go to a restaurant with you. And you're tired of looking for a mate. And you're tired of practicing celibacy. And you're tired of waiting. You're tired of pretending that you're single and happy. But you know, deep down there where nobody can see, you're miserable. And you're on the verge of wanting to compromise godly principles. If you're on the upper trying to compromise moral life. But I tell you, single person, you hang in there. It's not worth it. One moment of pleasure is not worth a lifetime of misery.
I tell the singers at Franklin all the time, it's better to be single and lonely than married and miserable. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. There's some married couples here. You want to quit. Things have not been any good since you said I do. Instead of better for worse, it's been worse all the time. Instead of rich or poor, it's been poor all the time. The romance is gone. The happiness is gone. And you're thinking of changing partner. But I've come to tell you, you hang in there, married people. The grass is not always greener on the other side. You grow your grass, it'll be just as green. You just hang in there. You don't know what you're going to find out there. You may run into a fatal attraction right out there. You may run into a sick out there. You just give your mate to the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all of these other things shall be added unto you. I've got to stop. Look at verse 10. My time is out. Verse 10. The Bible says, for I am with thee, and no man shall hurt thee. Listen what the Lord said. Listen, Paul, I am with thee. If you hold on, God will be with you. If you got God on your side, what else do you need? Well, whatever dilemma you're facing, whatever problem you're facing, whatever disappointment you're dealing with, don't ever forget you've got the promise of God's presence with you. But not only do you have the promise of God's presence, verse 10 goes on to say, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You also have the promise of God's protection. If God is your protector, what else do you need? The psalmist said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me and eat of my flesh, they stumble and fell. Listen, with God as your protector, what else do you need? Listen, Satan can't do anything more to you than God will allow. For Satan is limited in what he can do to one of God's children. Very quick, I want to share with you this illustration. A former pastor told me he was a little boy walking down the street one day in his neighborhood. And as he was walking down the street, he noticed that as he was walking, here come a German shepherd just charging at him. And he began to cry, okay, God, I'm coming home. But he saw something, Dr. Patterson, that he didn't see earlier. As the dog started charging at him, he noticed that there was a chain coming up out of the grass. And when the dog got so far, that chain just snatched him back. The dog got so far, and that chain just snatched him back. Well, it's the same thing with Satan. Satan ruffles, and he puffers, and he growls. But you know what? God got a chain on him. See, Satan's already been defeated at Calvary. He can growl at you and he can moan at you, but God got a chain on him. He can do all he can, but don't give up. He can't overtake you. God's got a chain on him. The only way Satan can overtake you, you got to get in his yard. But as long as you stay in the will of God, God has a chain on Satan. Say, God, that's my child. That's my preacher, Satan. That's my president. That's my missionary. God has a chain on the enemy. Oh, Satan, you have no power here. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Oh, my friend, as long as you're in God's will, you have the promise of God's protection. It's too soon to quit. You hang in there, and you're not alone. The last part of verse 10, I'm going to my seat, goes on to say, for I have much people in this city. God has somebody who will wade the water with you. God has somebody who will stand the storm with you. Dr. Paige Patterson is here for you. Dr. Danny Aiken is here for you. Southeastern Seminary is here for you. Don't give up. God has somebody who will fight the fire with you. Don't give up. Somebody somewhere is praying for you. God has believers who will encourage you, who will support you, who will help you and assist you, who will stand in the gap. You hang in there. Despite the setbacks, despite the disappointments, despite the failures and the frustration and the fatigue, despite the organized opposition and the overwhelming odds, you hang in there. It's too soon to quit. I'm so glad, Dr. Patterson. I'm so glad, Southeastern, that Jesus didn't quit. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't quit. You talk about frustration. You talk about organized opposition. You talk about setbacks. They lied on him, but he didn't quit. They mocked him, but he didn't quit. They spit on him, but he didn't quit. Judas betrayed him, but he didn't quit. Peter denied him, but he didn't quit. His disciples deserted him, but he didn't quit. He went up that old rugged hill called Calvary, but he didn't quit. Then ripped until the flesh came from his bone, but he didn't quit. Then pierced him in his hand and pierced him in his side, but he didn't quit. Oh, he could have called 10,000 angels to stand by his side, but I'm so glad he decided to die just for you and me. He didn't quit. He went all the way, and they buried him in that old rugged tomb, in that borrowed tomb, but he didn't quit for early on Sunday morning. As the old black preacher used to say, early on Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. He didn't quit. He said, I'm he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Forevermore, you hang in there, preachers. You hang in there, students. You hang in there, missionaries. You hang in there, music ministers. You hang in there, education ministers. You keep on working for the Lord. You keep on serving for the Lord. You keep on praying in ministries. But one of these days, after a while and by, I'm going to hear God, where God himself saying, it's quitting time now. One of these days, after a while and by, God's going to say, it's quitting time now. Put up your Bibles, it's quitting time now. Put up your hymnals, it's quitting time now. Choir, you have to sing no more, it's quitting time now. Chapel no more, it's quitting time now. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up to bright glory somewhere around God's throne. Will you be there? Will you be there? Don't play with me now. Will you be there? Don't joke with me now. Will you be there? Somewhere around God's throne. What a time is going to be when all of God's children get together. But until then, you hang in there. It's too soon. It's too soon to quit.
Why I love this man. I appreciate him so very much. Brother Irving Millsap, where are you? Come down there. Where are you? There you are. I didn't see you down there. I want Brother Irving to come and lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer, and then we're going to stand for that prayer and then just remain standing. And I really think you want to hear one more time from the choir, don't you? We're just going to remain standing. Listen to them. As soon as they've sung, you'll be dismissed to break into a dead run to your classes. And please do that. But we wanted to give the choir an opportunity to sing for you one more time. Again, Fred Luter, thank you so much for coming here today. I want you to know one of the most remarkable things is he has set his heart to win the men of the city of New Orleans. And it's unusual in any church, going to any of our churches anywhere, that you are 60-40, pray for the women. Thank God for that. Thank the Lord that our women love Jesus. Give that kind of an example of leadership for us. It's unusual to go into a church with 60-40 men. And that's what happens when you go into this church in New Orleans. You've been reaching men for Christ and training leaders for the future. Remarkable situation to witness. We pray for Fred Luter as he returns to New Orleans that God gives him a very unique message, not only for the black family, but to all of our families today in this world. We thank the Lord for it. Thank you all for coming. And we remind you, pastors in the presence, to immediately, if you will, over to the house. We have some coffee and refreshment for you there. Then we'll join the choir for lunch immediately after that in the cafeteria. All right. Would you stand for Irving Millsap? We love you. Thank you so much today, my sweet brother, bringing your choir down here. You come and lead us in prayer after each prayed. We'll just remain standing as you listen to the choir.
Let's bow. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the perfect ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for lifting this creature beyond himself and giving us a glimpse of Christ. Now we ask now that you would just minister again to our needs. Help us never to give up the race. Help us never to throw in the towel. But God, ever help us to keep our eyes set on thee. And we know that if we put our eyes on thee, there is no mountain that we cannot climb. No valley that we cannot trod through. We hear you, and your word says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Oh God, now we ask that you would bless us with the blessing you see we stand in need of. We ask that you would dismiss us from this place, but not ever thy presence. For this in the perfect, powerful, precious name, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.